Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Well, welcome to part three of the series we're doing called First, and it's all about prioritizing our lives. And didn't our family ministry team do a great job just communicating what they're doing? We so appreciate them. If you're visiting today, I want to add my welcome to Lee's and just say thanks for being with us. You kind of got here on a day which was perfect for you to be here because you got to kind of get a showcase of all of what we're doing. And of course, there's much more than what we do here on Sunday morning as well. But thank you for being here. And Church of Lake Travis family, let's welcome all our guests here today. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I know that it always takes effort to step out and go to a new church, and please let us know you are here by completing one of those connection cards that's inside the worship guide that you have. You know, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I think about how critical his influence was in the world. I identify with Martin Luther King Jr. in the sense that I am passionate about seeing injustice in the world eliminated. And he was a man who was passionate about injustice being eliminated. In fact, I think about how I have a black daughter, and she's Haitian. She's not African American. She's Haitian American now. But I thought about how that would never have been possible if Martin Luther King Jr. hadn't invested his life in the way he did. So I just thought it'd be appropriate for us to put our hands together and honor his legacy. Could we do that together today? And then finally, I want to continue to lead us. It's day 15 of 21 days of prayer. And I want to lead us in a time of prayer together. I've been doing this each Sunday as we're in this season to show you a different model of prayer so that when you get bored saying the same things over and over again, you'll have somewhere to go. And so the first week we said, just walk through the Lord's Prayer and use that as an outline. Last week we said, Acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And this week, I want to talk with you about a model, a prayer that is straight from God's Word. And one of our partners actually gifted me a book called Praying the Scriptures. And it's a quick little read, and I got through it quickly. And all it is picking a passage from Scripture and walking line by line through it, and then praying whatever comes to your mind as you're doing that. So why don't you stand to your feet, and let's get into that posture of prayer. Whatever that is for you, it might mean that you have a traditional posture of prayer. You know, I used to think when I was a kid, now lay me down to sleep. I always held my hands like this. That was like the prayer posture. Maybe for you, it's bowing your head. Maybe it's for you getting on your face before God or kneeling down, or maybe it's walking up and down the aisle. I'm not sure what it is for you, but I want this time to be a time of freedom for you, that you feel free to pray however you feel led. And so I'll lead us through this structured time. We're going to walk line by line through Psalm 23. We're going to get a couple of verses in because you'll find that there's a lot you can pray as you walk through this. So would you just get in that posture of prayer? Maybe it's by lifting your hands, bowing your head. The first line says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Whatever comes to mind, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be in want. Simply speak out loud to God and say, "God, thank you that you're my shepherd." Whatever that is, he's your provider. You won't be in want. He meets every need. talk to him. Tell him what you think about when you think about this verse. The next line says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. How many of us need some peace in our life? Would you right there talk to God about whatever comes to mind when you think about green pastures and quiet waters? Next line says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What do you think about when you think about God restoring your soul? Talk to him about it. Need some guidance in your life? Talk to him about it. Have some areas that you need more righteousness in. Talk to him about it. And this is a big one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why don't you just release all your fear to him? There's no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear. Choose faith in what God's word says over fear. Release all your fear. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we can grow in our prayer life and we can learn more about how to pray. Because I think we'll all be really honest and say we don't pray as much as we should. And yet, in our busyness, God, you call us to dependence on you. You call us to talk to you about everything that's going on in our life. And so we do that during this season of 21 days as we surrender our lives and surrender our will and our agenda. God, speak to us clearly. Help us to hear your voice and help us to have the courage to obey what you're telling us to do. And God, we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Can we give him one more hand clap of praise together today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, I feel like we're having church today. Come on. Come on. So today, we are going to look at the third part of this series called First. It's a series about prioritizing our lives, a series about ordering our lives, and really the order is very, very important. We have seen over and over again where this is so critical to our life being the abundant life that God wants for us. We said that there are five capitals in life that need to be ordered in the proper order. One is spiritual capital. The next is relational capital. The next is physical capital. The next is intellectual capital. And the last is financial capital. We said that God wants us to have an abundant life. And in order for us to have a life that's not struggling to get by, but thriving in the life that God wants for us, then we need to have our priorities in order. Last week we said financial capital is the easiest to measure, but it's the most difficult to manage. And that is because it always wants to be at the top. But God actually has a different prescription in his kingdom, and it is at the very bottom of the priority list in his economy. And how do we keep it at the bottom? We said we've got to posture ourselves in a posture of radical generosity, where we have an open hand. I didn't say this last week, but the reality is, with a closed fist, you can't give anything away and you can't receive anything. So we have to have an open posture, an open hand, where we can receive and give freely as God leads us to do that. For take home last week, I said that there was an assessment that you could take to look at your five capitals and see, where am I in order, and then how can I grow in those areas? And so if you haven't taken that, or you didn't receive an email with that link to take that, then come see us, or actually just write it on your connection card and drop that in the faith box on your way out today, and we'll get you that link. So next up on the hierarchy, we talked about financial capital. Is we're going up the list, so from the bottom to the top. The next up on the list is intellectual capital. And I don't want you snoozing here today, because we're talking about intellectual capital. We're also going to talk about physical capital, but first we're going to talk about intellectual capital. This capital refers to the knowledge we've acquired, as well as our ability to bring ideas and creative solutions to the table. This shows that it's of higher value than financial capital, because we all know that you can't create ideas or inspire creativity simply by spending a lot of money. Now, Jesus is our model here. He possessed an astonishing level of intellectual capital. Jesus was recognized by everyone as a rabbi, which means teacher or master. Mom and dad, if your kids ever complain about doing their homework, you can point back to Jesus here and say, Jesus was interested in intellectual capital, and you should be too. He was a rabbi who was a teacher of the Jewish law, who had studied rigorously all throughout his life. He knew what he was talking about. In fact, when Jesus appeared for the very first time after his death, burial, and resurrection, one of the people who recognized him called him Rabboni, which is another way of saying rabbi. Now, Jesus wasn't just a holy person who prayed a lot. He was a smart person who thought a lot. He had an intellectual capital, and he used it to disciple his followers, to teach the crowds, and to answer his detractors. You may remember, after a talk he did one day on the hillside, we call that the Sermon on the Mount. One day he's talking, and after he finishes, Matthew 7 verse 28 says, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were, say it out loud, amazed. They were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law typically taught. Matthew 22, Jesus is in a situation with a group of Pharisees, and their religious sect within Judaism. They try to trap Jesus in this tricky and politically loaded question, and they say, who should you pay the tax to, Jesus? And Jesus asked them, which Jesus is brilliant, because Jesus very seldom answers a question with a statement. Jesus almost always uses his intellectual capital to think of a better question. Okay, so here's what he said. He asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription is on it? And they replied, Caesar's. And Jesus' response was, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And then I love the way the next verse simply responds. When they heard this, they were, say it again, amazed. So they left him and went away. This is a mic drop moment for Jesus, where he has this clarity of insight, and he's able to pierce through what they're really thinking, and he says, I'm going to ask them a question, and it's going to confound them. That same day, another group of religious leaders were talking to Jesus, and they were known for being disagreeable. These people were just difficult people. Do you ever have people in your life that are just difficult people? These are negative Nellies, and negative Nelly tried to trap Jesus with an obtuse question about marriage laws. And Jesus answered them with such clarity and such biblical insight. When the crowds heard it, doesn't say they were amazed. It says they were astonished at his teaching. Amazed. Astonished. Jesus had boatloads of intellectual capital, and he always used it to help other people. Like Jesus, I believe that we need to be thought leaders, that we need to be creative in our thinking, that we need to use thoughts and wisdom and quickly release it to others in engaging, relevant, innovative ways. I believe that about our intellectual capital. A few years ago, I got into coaching. I started being coached by a company called Five Capitals Coaching. And in that coaching, I learned this intellectual capital about God's way of doing things to live an abundant life, and have begun to implement it in my own life so that then I could come and share it with you. That's what intellectual capital is to be used for, is to be shared with others. So how are you using your intellectual capital? Are you using it to help other people? Are you using it to invest in relationships around you? Are you using it to help you know God better? Are you using it to actually advance your life in any way, shape, or form, like spending your time and energy more wisely? Handle your finances in a God-honoring way. Before we go any further, let me just say, under stress, like when I'm stressed out, intellectual capital goes from second from the bottom all the way to the top for me. Like, I just want to think of the right idea. Like, and I start pursuing all the right ideas instead of pursuing God so that he can provide the idea. Does that make sense? Shake your head if it makes sense. Shake your head no if it doesn't make sense. Okay? So, I go to intellectual capital real quick, and I know that about myself. But here's what the scripture tells us to do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And your heart's pretty holistic in the Old Testament when it talks about that. And he goes on and he unpacks it and he says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own intellectual capital. But acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight, the scripture says. Listen, marketplace friends, I know how important it is to be first to market with whatever idea that you have. But let me ask, are you seeking the idea, or are you seeking God first so that he will provide the best idea? Because I believe God provides the best idea. Now, we're going to evaluate our intellectual capital today. We're going to evaluate our physical capital. So I want to just pause right here and ask you a few questions to help you evaluate your capital. The first question is, are you a lifelong learner? In what areas are you still open to new ideas and possibilities? Where have you become more closed off and you need to be more open to a new way of doing things? Most of us are creatures of habit. We go through the motions every day, and we sometimes need to try something new to break up the monotony. So here's two action items for you with intellectual capital. Number one, consider how you might learn in a different way. Consider how you might learn in a different way. Take an online class, listen to a podcast, read a book. What is it for you? Maybe you need to go sit in an actual class. Maybe you need to engage in a hobby or a craft. What is it for you that you need to learn in a different way? And then the second action item is to choose to be curious. Like, to have an open mind, just to come from curiosity and think about life. Many of history's greatest inventors and greatest minds have all been indelibly curious, where they just thought about, what if? What are you curious about? How could being more curious look different for you? Maybe it's asking more questions than making less statements. Maybe it's coming from that place of curiosity in your relationships, on the job. How about this question? Are you too busy? Maybe often running around serves as the true enemy of growth in intellectual capital and productivity when it comes to our lives. So what can you cut back or cut out? And we're going to talk about that a little bit for a moment now as we transition into physical capital, because physical capital is a big deal. Physical capital is kind of the middle child of the five capitals, and it doesn't even get its own week in the five capital series. Like, it's kind of looked over oftentimes, and it's looked over to our detriment, because physical capital is the way that we manage our time and energy and the health that we have in our lives. We all can admit, if we are sick, that we're not very productive spiritually, we're not very productive relationally, we're not very productive intellectually or financially. So physical capital really is a big deal, and us managing that and learning to manage that in a healthy way is really smart. Now, we talk about with kids all the time, like, you know, they want to sleep in, right? Like, that's just teenagers, a teenage life. Is that true? You want to sleep in? 10 o'clock is probably too early for church, right? So we want to sleep in, but we always give them the option of going to bed much earlier. They get the same amount of sleep from 8 to 8 as they do from 10 to 10, but they don't want to do that. They want to manage their time and energy differently. And so how do we manage our time and energy? I think about this. I think about, if you've been like me, have you ever been running late to an appointment where you're just like rushing out the door, getting in the car, you get in the car and you're going to the appointment and you're already going to be 5 or 10 minutes late, and you look at the gas gauge and it's on empty. And you're praying the whole time, you can't stop because you're going to be even more late, so you're just going and going and going, and you get to your appointment and you get, and then you go and you get gas, and while you're sitting at the gas pump, pumping your gas, you have this moment of clarity and you feel like, that's a metaphor for my life. That's how I feel, on empty. If my life energy had a gas gauge or a gauge, it would be bottomed out. And I don't know, maybe that's just me that feels that way, but I think that probably some of you feel that way as well. So how can we run on a full tank all the time? You know, time is actually the great equalizer. Whether you're the president or the pope or the prime minister or every day you and me, we all have the same amount of time in our day, 24 hours in our day. And we have to decide what we do with the time we have. Are we going to leverage it for good? Are we going to waste it and burn that energy? So how are you doing balancing your time, energy, and focus? John 15 gives us this beautiful picture of managing our time and energy well, and talks about living a fruitful life. I think we all would say we want to be fruitful. So let's read from John 15 about what Jesus says when it comes to managing our physical capital. He says this. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he, his Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So do we want to live a fruitful life? I believe we do, because we don't want to be cut off from Jesus. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, he trims them back. How many of you know that there are necessary endings in our lives? Oftentimes, we need to end a job. There are oftentimes that we need to end a relationship. There are oftentimes we need necessary endings in our life so that we can be more fruitful in the long run. And God will do that in our life. He says this phrase. He says, you're already clean because the word I've spoken to you, the word sanctifies us. Remain in me. And he uses the word remain in me as I also remain in you. I want to point out that he uses the word remain about 7 or 8 or 9 times in this one little passage. In 1 John, he uses it another about 27 times. This is a big word for the Apostle John to use. Remain. Remain. It can be translated remain. It can be translated abide. Pastor Lee's word for the year is abide. He wants to abide in Christ. He wants to be present, fully present, remain. Another word is dwell, to live in. I'm on day 15 of a 21-day fast where I've had juice and water only. And as I'm doing that, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful because it pushes me to have this clarity of thought and this intense hunger for God, where I'm intentionally abiding in Him. What is that going to look like for you? To abide, to remain, to settle in at home in God, to have a steady place with Him. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. But then Jesus says this. He says, I am the branch. I'm the vine, excuse me. You are the branches. And if you remain in me, and I in you, incredible promise, you will bear much fruit. You are like, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are to be picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, I love this promise. As we're in the season of prayer, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Isn't that awesome? God wants us to make Him look good by bearing fruitful lives. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean by procreating. That doesn't mean for us to make a lot of money necessarily. What it means is to invest in the kingdom of God. That's how we actually grow our physical capital and grow the fruitfulness that God has for us. Life can be described as a pendulum, and I want you to see this image up on the screen. Life can be described as a pendulum, and in that pendulum, we have rest in God that is abiding, or we have work for God. That is the things that produce fruitfulness. And if we go over here, we experience pruning. And like I said, pruning is not all bad because we become more fruitful as we get pruned, and then we can grow and we can excel. Now, the problem is on the extremes, because when we indulge too much of our time and energy in rest, or maybe it's working out, or maybe it's looking good, or maybe it's spending too much time vacationing, or what is it that you're doing? Maybe it's too much Netflix. I almost titled this like Life After Netflix. Like that's what is getting too much rest, indulgence, that is unhealthy for you? And then on the other extreme, maybe it's too much work. Maybe it's too much striving and just going and going and going more, because we all have 168 hours a week and 40 hours makes us average, right? No. We need balance in this pendulum of life where we have work and rest. Work hard, play hard, so that we can experience growing and we can experience pruning as we abide, we remain in God. So, for you, what do you need to prune in your life so that you can rest more? What do you need to grow in? What do you need to add so that you can be more fruitful in your work? I think this is a beautiful picture of us, because we're called to honor the limitations we have as humans. Let's evaluate. Let's think. Start, stop. What am I going to stop doing, and what am I going to start doing to improve my time and energy, my physical capital, is the rhythm and pace of your life truly sustainable? If not, what needs to change in it? Think about balance. Think about areas of work, rest, and play. Where are there opportunities for investing some intellectual capital to grow your physical capital? Where can you grow and learn and recalibrate? How about this? Rethink nutrition. I told Ashley this week during this fast, I realized that, and I know this, guys, I've coached CrossFit for years, and I know nutrition, I know what you're supposed to do, but I've not taken good care of my body in what I've been putting in it. I've not been managing my energy well with what I put in my body. So maybe it's to rethink nutrition for you, to tune your body to find out what's good for you. Given your age and lifestyle, what exercise plan works best for you? Is there enough fun in your life? Maybe for you, you got to seek opportunities to step outside of your normal routine, mix it up a little bit. What about time wasters? What needs to be eliminated from your life? Like social media? Some of you are on social media fast right now. Maybe that's something that's draining your time and energy. Statistics are indicating over and over again that one of the reasons we're seeing a spike in teen suicide and depression is directly tied to applications like Snapchat and Instagram, where it's constant instant gratification. And so life looks pretty bleak outside of that, right? So why should I keep going on? So maybe it's managing the energy of your life by cutting out some of those things or reducing the time that you spend on them. What about this? What if you did something good? What if you started something? Like you engaged with other people? Because we all know relationships are really so important in our life. We're going to talk about that next week. We can't receive the consistent encouragement that we need and life-giving relationships without being intentional about it. So who can we engage? What can you start to engage something? One of the things that we're having today and next Sunday is small group leader training. Small group leaders are a big deal for us at the Church at Lake Travis because we know that life change happens within the context of relationships. And so we know that we need small group leaders to show up week in and week out to help people have a reason to get together. And so we've structured our small groups and super simple. We said, by the way, I guess I should be honest, we go through this pruning process as well as a church. And so we looked at our house churches and we said, you know what? Our house churches aren't necessarily providing fruit the way that they could and should. And so we've had to revamp our whole small group structure. And we said, what if we did small groups where we said, you know what? There's a group of people that get together every Tuesday morning and they go for a three-mile run. They run a 5K together and then they pray together and they read a scripture together and encourage one another for the day and for the week and then they dismiss. That's their small group. Or what if somebody says, I like baking, and so once a week we're going to have a baking small group and you're going to come over and we're going to, you know, you bring a recipe, we'll all make it, and then we're going to pray together, and we're going to spend time in God's Word together. Like, that's a small group. That's your interest, stuff that you would want to do anyway, right? And so maybe you're interested in engaging others, and you want to be intentional in that. If you would be interested in leading a small group, we'll be having a training today at 1 o'clock and then next Sunday at 1 o'clock. If you're interested, though, I'm going to be here right after church, and I want to see you right at the front of the stage because I want to share with you some ideas on thinking through this before we even get to the training at 1 o'clock. So, all right. How are you doing in the areas of intellectual capital and physical capital? Are you ordering them in the right order? I'll tell you a story about a friend of mine who... he was in modeling and acting. And so how many of you know in Hollywood and modeling and acting world that physical capital is a big deal, right? Like how good I look, how much I'm working out, taking care of my body, like all of those things. And so my friend tells me that physical capital was, he was at his prime, like he was looking good. And that thought, he was always seeking approval, always seeking approval, always wanting to look good in front of people. And he was seeking approval one day and sought it in the wrong place. He sought it from someone who was not his wife. He ended up having an affair. And his wife, when she found out about it years later, ended up being so kind and gracious. But I just wanted to tell you that story to say that the order matters. How we order our lives matters. So what's the order of your five capitals? Do you have physical capital too far at the top? Does it matter too much to you? Or is it at the very bottom and you don't have any control over your schedule? I want to invite you to bow your heads and pause for a moment of reflection.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.